Dear Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together in the house of the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me and bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen. For our devotional meditation this morning, here are some thoughts I would like to think about. What are your core values? What do you stand for? Is your faith strong? Or are you about to lose faith? For a title, conviction or compromise? In this day and age, commitments are low. Marriages don't last long, and relationships disintegrate easily. This morning, I would like to encourage us to the opposite, to know what we stand for, to have a strong, stable faith, to have conviction rather than compromise. To get a little bit of an idea of what we're talking about, let's look at some definitions. What is conviction? A strong persuasion or belief, the state of being convinced. Compromise, a giving up to something that is wrong or degrading. For our first scripture passage, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Full assurance of faith. Hold fast faith without wavering. Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Grounded and settled in the faith, not about to be moved away from the gospel. And just over a chapter, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Once again, rooted in the faith, established in the faith. For another scripture passage, Matthew 13, verse 20. Matthew 13, 20 through 23. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So here we have the interpretation of the parable of the sower, and talking about those who endured and those who didn't. Which you could paraphrase verse 21 into there is, those who don't endure, by and by he compromises. So I would like to look at some examples of both conviction and compromise. To start with, let's look at some examples of conviction. Jonadab. Let's turn to Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah 35, starting in verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go into the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, and into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habizaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the Chamber of the Princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, Drink ye wine? But they said, We will drink no wine, for Jonadab the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye, nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build houses, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyards, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. So the point that Jeremiah here is bringing out is that is obedience and honoring our parents, I believe. But I would like to look at the conviction that Jonadab had. He believed, he had this belief, the persuasion that we shouldn't drink wine and that we shouldn't live in houses. And I'm not saying necessarily that that's something that we should do, but I believe his convictions had some value to him. For indeed, wine can cause downfall and houses can cause us to forget that we are strangers and pilgrims here on this earth. And I believe his beliefs may have been a stabilizing factor in his life and the lives of his descendants. And we can take the extra-biblical, it shouldn't be our main focus as the Pharisees did wrong there, but I think it is good to look at the example of Jonadab here and to have conviction, to stand for things like he stood for. For another example, let's turn to Genesis 39. Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. So Joseph here had the conviction that to sin morally is not good. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God, is what he says there. And I thought a verse that might apply to this is 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. First Peter 5, verse 8, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So the God of all grace can keep us from temptation. And I believe that the conviction that Joseph had kept him from washing out. He was steadfast in faith. Are we as convinced about sin as Joseph was? For a third example, let's look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Down to verse 6. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verses 8 through 9. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And then down to verse 19 through 21. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even into the first year of King Cyrus. So Daniel had the conviction, the strong belief or persuasion that to eat the king's meat would be sin. And most likely that was because of the Old Testament commandments about maybe unclean animals or something like that. And yeah, so it's Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He definitely had a strong belief there. And I believe, as we see in those latter verses there, that Daniel was blessed because of his stand for the truth. I have here also an example of from a young man in the Martyr's Mirror by the name of Justin. It occurred in the year 1560 that at Beer in Zealand, there was apprehended a young brother named Justin, a native of Goes, a small town in Zealand, who was considerably versed in the Latin language. When he was a student of about 14 years, it happened that King Philip was in Zealand, and that this Justin was singing choral in church in the organ loft, as is customary in papistic churches. The king was so delighted with the lad's singing that he wanted to take him with him to Spain, on which account Juice kept himself concealed for 6 weeks, as he did not want to go away. Thus he afterward became converted to the true faith, and consequently was baptized upon his faith, and thus led a Christian life. This the enemies of the truth could not endure. Hence, they apprehended him when he was 18 years old. He had to suffer many assaults, and divers times attempts were made to draw him from the faith. He disputed with 4 inquisitors concerning many articles of faith. They made strenuous effort to draw him over to their religion. When they could not move him over with such means, they tortured him dreadfully, especially with instruments called iron tirlingen, which they thrust into his knees, so that they came out again at the ankles. But all this he steadfastly endured with great patience, and faithfully kept the treasure which he had in an earthen vessel. Hence the children of Herod sentenced him to burning, to death by burning, which they executed on him on a Monday before Christmas. On this way to death, he rejoiced greatly in the Lord, and sang yet as he was going into the hut of straw in which he was burnt, the last verse of the hymn composed by himself, which begins thus, O Lord, thou art forever in my thoughts. He also wrote a confession of faith of 5 sheets of paper, which, however, through course of time has been lost. So we have an example of a faithful young man here who was very strong in the faith, even at a young age. And one thing that was a possibility that those who tried to draw him from the faith would have offered him worldly fame as a singer for the king, as they had done previously. But I believe he was convinced of a better world to come. Can we stand for the faith as Juice did? Or do we compromise as soon as we get into a tight spot? For yet some examples, 2 examples of compromise, let's turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 69. Peter. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him that was there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. When Peter denied Jesus here, he compromised. He no longer stood for what he previously believed. Is that what we do? When we get in a tight spot, do we compromise, give up what we believe? For our last scripture passage and second example of compromise, let's turn to Revelations chapter 3. Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So the Laodiceans here were living in a state of compromise or lukewarmness. They chose rather to have lukewarmness rather than zeal for Christ. Is that our testimony today? Have we traded compromise? Have we traded lukewarmness for zeal for Christ? Compromise has done much damage to the church in the past. Church leaders who compromise push the church down. But the question comes to us. Do we stand for the truth, or are we compromising and about to be washed out? May the Lord bless you as you continue to serve Him.